Did you know there's a growing movement of people choosing to live a paper-based lifestyle? They're called Papertarians, and they proudly choose paper because of its positive impact on the forests and the environment. Here in the U.S., paper companies work with private forest landowners to grow and maintain forests at a rate nearly double the volume needed to make the paper, packaging, and boxes you rely on every day. And those products can be recycled up to 7 times. Join the movement and go Papertarian. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/Papertarian.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As if you're watching a movie, you know, you're just a spectator. This thing is right in front of me. It just turned its head. This is something real, and it's right here. What are you doing running away from this? Like, you've had these kind of questions all of your life, looking for, yeah, are we alone? What's on the other side? What happens after we die? Like, we just came face to face with it. Why are you running away from it? Because it's your most pressing thought, and fear seems to be a greater motivator than love or greed or anything else you can have in your mind. It's fear.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us today. We've got an epic show ahead, but just remember, if any of you have experiences you'd like to share, I'd love to hear from you. You can either email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com or head over to paranormalportal.net. Scroll down and find the button that says interview me, and that'll allow you to look at a calendar of possible times and dates and find a date that works for you. Love to hear your stories, so definitely get in touch with me. Hey everybody, I am joined now by Mr. Ryan Skinner of Skinwalker Ranch and Blind Frog Ranch, who is here joining me at Vernal's. So what a great opportunity for us to dive into his experience and things he's seen and how he got here. So without further ado, let's get to it. Welcome to the show, Ryan. Thanks, man. I really appreciate you doing this.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's everything. So I guess the place that I always like to start is just to hear how the journey began for you, because I guess especially with your journey, I mean, you ended up in some pretty incredible places among some pretty incredible people and taking part in some pretty incredible projects. How did that begin? Where did that start?
Yeah, now that I think about it, it has been a pretty incredible journey from pretty much a nobody with very little interest in the paranormal or skinwalkers or any of this craziness that I'm involved with now. And even some of the high-level people that I've interacted with, it's just really been a blessed and shocking surprise to me to be sitting here talking to you about all this right now.
Sure.
So, going in the mainstream
right
life of, as everybody else. It all began, I think, about 2006.
Okay.
I had just proposed to my wife. We planned to get married in Vegas. I'm from Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
I'm
from Minnesota, by the way.
Oh, we're neighbors. Brother right over there.
Yeah.
Illinois, I might not do this inter. Iowa, Minnesota, we're all brothers.
Yeah.
And we wanted to go to Vegas to kind of have that crazy Elvis kind of over-the-top wedding.
Yeah.
Our romance, she was from Ukraine, just a very passionate, unique relationship as I'd lived in Ukraine for a while with her. And
oh, neat.
Yeah. Okay. It's a dynamic time in my life.
Right.
And we thought, we thought Vegas would be a fun destination to really make it extra memorable versus hitting the courthouse or having something at home. We loaded up the car, took off for Vegas, and really hadn't traveled much throughout the United States at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We went through Colorado, saw the beautiful mountains, and finally we hit the border of Utah, maybe around 12:05 or so at mm-hmm. night. And I really had not been exposed, I guess, to the beauty of Utah. Coming from the flat, you know, plains of Wisconsin, Minnesota, you know, really, yeah, it's exciting to see a cow in a cornfield, to just these valleys and then majestic looking mountains. Mm-hmm. And we pulled over at a viewing area right as we crossed the border on I-70, maybe 15 miles outside of Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And I got out of the car and looked at the valleys below. We had a full moon that night, which kind of bathed the entire scenery, just magic. It really struck me throughout my core just how beautiful this place was and majestic, and just if there was magic anywhere, it was right here.
Sure.
Now, this is always like bizarre to me and not innate to my character, but as I'm appreciating everything out there, I kind of from the core yelled out to the ether, "I am here." I mean, just passionately, I am here, like announcing myself, which is absolutely kind of insane. I don't normally talk to myself, much less canyons and whatever. But just recently, I learned it's actually part of like a CE3 or CE5 protocol.
Really?
To announce your intentions and your presence to the universe.
Oh, cool.
Which back then, I had absolutely no idea. I just went with a group of people and they did exactly the same thing. And I'm like, that's what I was doing. So I think that was kind of the catalyst to everything that was about to happen thereafter.
Wow.
It's a long story, so I'll give you the quick abridged version.
Sure.
The wife at that time, again, being from Ukraine, typically the women didn't drive. Most people took the bus. They live in big cities.
Oh.
So I wanted to teach her to drive and thought the empty roads at midnight on I-70, great place to start. And she's driving. Everything's fine. We're going about 10-15 minutes later. She begins to complain about a ball of light behind the car. There's this red ball of light following us, Ryan. Like, what is that? What is happening? Right. Well, I mean, I'm not in panic mode or anything else. It's her first time driving. You know, sure. Maybe she's looking at the taillights or somebody, some car that passed us or
right.
Some kind of reflection. But she's adamant. She keeps repeating, like, there's something behind the car. And I'm looking around. I don't understand what she's looking at. And I finally say, just pull over. Let's figure this out.
Right.
We pull over on the side of the road. I'm looking at the rear view mirrors. Long story short, I finally get the gunship. Yeah, why not? Let's just look what's behind the car. Maybe there's something broken or something unusual.
Sure.
And not expecting to see anything out of the ordinary. And I look behind the car and there's what looks to be a sparkler, like a flare, I guess is the best thing I can ascribe it to. And it's hovering behind the car, maybe 8 feet up in the air, 20 feet behind the car, and just stationary right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what my brain is. Like, I don't understand what I'm looking at. We have no base of reference. Yeah, because I'm always in a problem-solving mode. And
sure.
Yeah, okay, let's figure this out. Let's keep moving. And I'm just frozen. I don't know if the ball of light froze me, just dumbstruck by, what is that?
Right.
And just, you know, I'm not thinking alien. Like, what is this? It's right behind us.
Uh-huh.
And that state of stasis, of being paralyzed, I guess,
right.
possibly by my own confusion and shock, was shattered. She screams, there's something coming towards the car. Ryan, like, now there's people coming towards the car. She's, and I'm snap out of it immediately.
Right.
I see like three shadows starting to come towards the car.
You're in motion at this time, right?
No, we're on the side of the road. And I'm investigating what is happening.
Okay.
Or what is this bizarre light that she's looking at? Get in the car. And I'm in a panic. You know, I've gone from a state of confusion to this situation has gone massively sideways. We need to get out of here. And I hit the accelerator. I'm going as fast as the car will go, 80, 90, something like that.
Okay.
And the ball of light is now trailing us, keeping pace with the car. No matter how fast I go, it's directly behind. There's so much to this story. We keep continuing down the road until we see the first rest area.
Mm-hmm.
And the I did read Whitley Strieber's book Communion. Yeah, and I'm thinking about being probed and abducted and I was hoping for all the probing and what not to happen after the marriage, but not by some gray alien.
Sure.
Or ET finger or whatever's going on. I'm in a panic. I'm hitting the horn. I'm screaming out the window, flashing the lights. We're in the rest area at this point,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's reacting. Nobody's waking up, and I'm just freaking out, trying to get anybody's attention.
Right.
And hoping maybe to give enough attention to scare this thing off, and it does. It veers off over one of the nearby hills and heads towards the mesa.
Oh my God.
I'm now just a massive hit of adrenaline, just excited. What the hell was that? What just happened? What is that? That was real. What happened?
Right.
And I'm kind of scared to be honest.
Sure. Absolutely.
And she says, and of course, as we all know, like Ukrainians, they're pretty tough bastards. With, you know, Russia being five times the size of them, they're fighting them off. I mean, they're tough as nails.
Yeah.
And she says, "What the hell are you doing? What are you doing running away from this? Like, you had these kind of questions all of your life, looking for, yeah, you know, are we alone? What's on the other side? What happens after we die? Like, we just came face to face with it. Why are you running away from it? You need to go back to it."
Good for her. Wow.
I know. She's got the guts. Yeah. I thought I was Mr. Courage. These women demasculate you. So, at least to me, my man car is pulled right there. And I'm just, damn it. She's right, you know? Damn it. Like, I got to not. She's right. I got to turn around. And the answers potentially are wherever this thing just went. It was right in front of us. And mustered up what little courage I had, turned the car around, went back to the place where all this began.
Mm-hmm.
I just showed this in my speech. She then begins filming, but we filmed everything. It's just, she was, the audio is what's impressive, not the film is terrible.
Sure.
Yeah, we weren't researchers or ghost hunters or UFO hunters at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I still am, but I'm trying my best.
Yeah, no, exactly.
We go back to the spot. The ball of light is bouncing over the book's cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Later, I find out we're 80 miles to the north of south of Skinwalker Ranch as a crow flies. That'll play a part a little bit later. But this ball of light, it's dancing around the cliffside and then begins to, almost in the blink of an eye, I mean, almost like snapping your fingers, it must be miles away, maybe 10, 15 miles over. I have no idea.
Sure.
But it's quite a blink of an eye, it's right in front of us. It's back where it was, but now it's out in the field outside the passenger window. We had pulled the car over to videotape it, and it's now outside the car window, and, I mean, this is just where it gets really insane, as if it wasn't insane enough.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it gets very visceral and real. The ball of light transforms into into the eye. Somehow the ball of light becomes the eye of one of three gray aliens. They're translucent. You can kind of see people. At first they're shadow-like, and then as they begin to materialize, you can still see through them, but you see the almond kind of eyes. And it's that ball of light, like, I remember it ended where the eye of the one in the middle was. So apparently they travel, and I've come somewhat over the years, come to the conclusion this is some sort of vessel for them when they're not in the UFOs or whatever else they're using. And they're hovering, they're kind of with their arms spread out. And I used to do 3D models of characters. And the exact bizarre scene. Yeah, you know exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. Weird, yeah, well, as if it's not weird enough, but they're wearing what looks to be like a diving suit, you know, that tight, skin-tight suit, all black, with what looks like hoses interconnected all throughout the suit. And again, it's dark outside. They're halfway transparent. That was the best detail I could get.
Right.
And I'm rolling the window down, and I'm trying to communicate at this point. And I'm going, we don't mean you any harm. We're not going to hurt you. And something that just traveled in a split second, you know, from 20 miles away right in front of my face. I don't think it's worried about me hurting it, as I'm the guy running away from it every chance I can get. So I think it might have been the other way around. But I remember after seeing that, the one in the middle took its head and kind of cocked it sideways. And if you're ever talking to a dog and you're like, yeah, hey, buddy, you know, come over here or do this or that, perform a trick. And they're kind of like, they want to understand,
yeah,
but they're not quite sure what you're saying.
Sure.
That was the impression I got from it. There was nothing telepathic, no communication, no noise, no smell, but it twisted the head sideways. Mm-hmm. And I think at that moment, the situation got very, very real for me. Yeah. It was no longer a matter of awe and wonderment and how long can I sit here, and the distance between me and it, as if you're watching a movie, you know, you're just a spectator. This thing is right in front of me. It just turned its head. This is something real, and it's right here. And again, I lost my shit. Sorry to keep swearing, but I mean, it's an appropriate word. That's exactly how I felt. I was in a state of terror and panic. And the reality of the situation hit me hard, that this is unknown. I don't know if it's a threat. I don't know what it is, yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen next, and I need to get out of here. And it's...
And so you shot off again?
I took off again at this point, as if it doesn't keep getting weirder. It didn't follow us. They didn't keep... Nothing. We just kept going. Maybe 10, 15 miles down the road, we'd see cars on the side of the road at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And all the doors would be open to the cars, but nobody was inside. We'd go down another couple miles. I thought at first, boy, that's odd. Right? Maybe they're out relieving themselves in the bushes, or who knows? But why would every door be open?
Right.
And we'd go down a couple more miles, another car just like that.
And creepy though, isn't it?
Very, totally creepy. And I pulled the car over, and this time she's the one with the common sense yet again. And I'm like, let's get out and see what's going on. Maybe somebody needs help. Like, this is weird. As if everything, again, wasn't weird enough. And she says, no, I have a really bad feeling about this. Get in the car. Don't stop. Keep going. And so you didn't hear advice pretty solid.
Yeah.
I might be pretty dumb, but smart enough to listen to her.
Good.
And we kept continuing down the road. Stopped at Thompson Springs, which is like kind of an abandoned ghost town, and just spent the night there.
Really? Anything go weird there, or was it?
No, but I did wake up with a really bad headache and something else. I think it seemed like, this is crazy, but it seemed like there was possibly missing time.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was much, much earlier in the morning. By the time Thompson Springs is maybe half hour from the point where we started. Mm-hmm. Yet 2 to 3 hours had passed between that time. And we reviewed the tape later, and there's this bizarre... We videotaped the whole thing. Again, the video's terrible. It doesn't show a thing.
Sure.
There's no IR, night vision. But there's a voice on the video speaking in this bizarre language of almost like a Native American dialect that you can hear in the background. A third voice. You hear my voice, her voice, and some third-party voice speaking in a language we've never heard.
Wow.
In a very... A very commanding kind of tone that I don't remember hearing at the time.
Oh, okay.
And while giving the speech, somebody in the audience brought up something I never thought about. She said, as you saw those cars going down the road, is it possible you were one of those cars that was empty and maybe something had happened to you during that time? And something I never thought about until today.
Wow, yeah.
But the event really was a transformative moment in my life, where it was the genesis of this obsession I now have with Skinwalker Ranch. Mm-hmm. And the entire Uinta Basin, because it was so real to me and had the potential to answer all these questions I had as a small child.
Protesters and supporters alike are lined up outside the United States Supreme Court this afternoon as a decision in the most hotly debated case in years is set to be delivered.
From iHeart Podcast, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade.
Sir, I graduated the top quarter of my class.
We just don't have a spot for you.
Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
My chief qualification being, I'm uncontroversial.
You know how we both ended up on the Supreme Court?
Politics.
Damn right.
This may be the longest of shots, but it's also the last chance for a lot of women.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
I'm trying to get you to stand for something, man. Now go to it.
Listen to Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For over 10 years, Grammarly has been powered by AI technology that you trust. With one click, you and your team can easily brainstorm, rewrite, and reply with personalized suggestions. You'll be amazed at what you can do. Go to grammarly.com/podcast to download for free.
I mean, I lived in haunted houses and just scared the shit out of me as a kid. Things moving in my room, hearing voices in the room, seeing things, TVs turning on and off, same with radio. Is just a... Mm-hmm. I wanted answers for that, for those events that really traumatized me as a kid. And I thought, boy, this just happened. Is there anything unique about this location? I reached out to MUFON. Mm-hmm. There were several other organizations, didn't get any replies, did my own research, got online and found out Skinwalker Ranch is 80 miles away to the north of where this just happened. And I'm like, boy, I need to, maybe the answers are there, because I'm not getting answers from MUFON, from asking around, all these other organizations, just dead ends.
Yeah.
And we actually didn't get married there. We did have the boring marriage back home. But once I got home, like, I had to get back to the Skinwalker Ranch place.
Yeah.
The problem is, at that time, 2006, nobody knew where the ranch was. There's this great book called Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Right.
About the Gormans were actually the Shermans.
Oh,
and that,
yeah.
Everything about it was obscured in the book on purpose so that no one would ever find the location. And I was determined to find exactly where this place was. Should I keep going?
Yeah, please. I'm compelled. You got me hanging here, brother.
I mean, because there's just so much. It's just that beginning story could take all the time. But it gets good. I told my parents about it. I mean, nobody believed me. So it almost became a mission of validation.
Mm-hmm.
to prove to others this really happened. It really is out there. And I'm going to prove it to the world.
Oh.
So I read the book, Hunt for the Skinwalker. I started getting on other forums, trying to find out where this Skinwalker Ranch place was. I knew roughly it was in Fort Duchesne. I didn't know where. And there was another researcher in the area named Ryan Burns, who had a bed and breakfast, and he was also likewise interested in locating it. Complete stranger. Yeah, he lived in the area in Duchesne, some 20 miles away or so from where we know Skinwalker Ranch to be. He's like, yeah, man, come on down. Let's find this. You know, he's a complete stranger. This whole thing is, I'm on this crazy train of a ride at this point. Like, why not?
But you're neck deep in it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm so committed at this point. It's so such a mystery that I need to try to see if there's maybe some answers at this crazy paranormal ranch where these things are happening all the time. If it happened to me down there at that initial location, maybe it's happening all the time up here and I can get some answers. So jumped on the plane, headed to
Salt Lake.
I met up with Burns and we headed to where we thought the ranch was. He had some intel where he thought it might be. As we're approaching the area, he says, well, we're on a reservation. And I have no familiarity with rules. And he's giving me the update that if you get caught up here being on the reservation, they can confiscate the car. They can put you in. They can put you in jail. You are now entering a sovereign nation. This is a country within the United States with their own rules, and no one from the state of Utah, the police, the government, nobody can come in and get you out. That's how serious this thing that we're about to embark on. We're going to be going on. We're going to be trespassing on Native American land.
Oh my God.
So if we're going to do it, we have to go lights out, you know, quiet as we can possibly be, wait till the sun goes down and let's go in. And, oh. and we went and, as we're going in, we're of course doing, I'm following everything he's saying. We're on two different walkie talkies, like we're on some sort of a mission, some sort of a military mission.
For sure though, right?
Yeah. We even taped our tail lights so that they wouldn't shine each time we hit the brakes.
Smart.
And just 5 miles just creeping along. We finally get to the location that looks like a great campsite where we can start setting up our equipment.
Okay.
And making the hike on the mesa towards where we think the ranch could be. We park the vehicle. We get out of the vehicle. Remember, we're just mortified that the BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs Police, are going to find us.
Right.
That's this pressing concept in our mind. We can't think of anything else, which is so important to what happens next, because we get out of the car and immediately red, white, and blue lights right on the hillside directly behind us, as if they, you know, we thought we were so damn sneaky. Well, these Native Americans, they've been, you know, living the land for a long time. And far more aware of our, they must have known we were there before we even left.
Sure.
Well, yeah, everything we were worried about, and it's happening right now. We can't leave. The same path to go out is the same. They're blocking it. We don't know. You know, we don't know what it is. We're just seeing the red, white, and blue lights.
Okay.
And suddenly, what do we do? There's nothing we can do. And then suddenly, we hear a robotic voice, which sounds like over an intercom or a bullhorn, begins yelling commands at us. But it's in a metallic, robotic-like voice in a language that we've never heard.
Wow.
You know, is he mumbling? Like, what the F are we supposed to, what are we supposed to do? Like, yeah. you don't want to do something wrong when the cops are yelling at you, especially, I guess maybe they're Native American cops. Maybe there's something wrong with the bullhorn. It's in this weird tinny kind of tone to it. Like, this has gone from bad to worse. And,
oh my God.
And now I guess the only thing we can do at this point is turn ourselves in, go over the hill, you know, kind of put our hands up. We give up, wave the white flag, whatever it takes. And we begin the hike over the hill. As we crest the hill, the lights immediately turn off. You know, we maybe turn the cop lights off and they're raising their weapons at us or whatever is happening.
Sure.
And as we get over the hill, peek over the other side, expecting to see the cop car there and to turn ourselves in or try to explain what we're doing there, there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. There's no car. There's no lights. There's no bullhorn, and there's no Bureau of Indian Affairs officials waiting for us. There's absolutely nothing. Not only is there nothing, there's no tracks leading in there.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
This is my very first moment, you know, getting onto Skinwalker Ranch around 2006, 2007. And it just kept getting crazier from that point to the point. Years later, I've reconciled that it's like the Topa effect. Are you familiar?
Sure.
Yeah, where these thoughts, you're projecting your fear, whatever's there seems to be downloading your fears, whatever the most pressing thing in your mind is.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. And I've since tried to think of money, of Disneyland, I don't know how women, I just like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because it's your most pressing thought. And fear seems to be a greater motivator than love or greed or anything else you can have in your mind.
Sure, yeah.
It's fear.
So it's like a mirror in a sense. That's kind of brilliant because I have to tell you, you know, in all that I've learned about Skinwalker Ranch, and I'm by no means an authority, but I'm a very motivated, curious individual about it, and it is intelligent. This is an intelligent phenomenon, and that to me just cooked my bacon, you know, because when you think about hauntings, even most, you know, alien situations, cryptozoology, they can have an intelligence to them. But it's a very small thing. Usually it's just in your area. But this is a regional intelligence.
It's an interactive intelligence,
right,
as well. And it's a foreign intelligence because it's kind of broken. You know, the rationale just doesn't seem to add up at the moment.
Right.
You're not having a dialogue or communication. There's always something broken about it.
Yeah.
And that's another unique detail that I'd like to convey is, did it create a police car? You know, we didn't see the police car. Did it give us a command? Hey, put your hands up, you know, come towards the car. Yeah. The language wasn't right.
Right.
It's like it's attempting to draw a picture, but it's not a very good artist. You know, there's always something broken about it is what I've always noticed.
Sure.
And there's been multiple additional instances of this Toba-like effect, but there's always a piece missing, which leads me more to some sort of a AI-like conclusion to it.
That is so weird that you said that, because as I've been racking my brain and trying to understand what...
Just like, I'm sorry, Aaron. Like when it's drawing pictures, you know, we have all these AIs that create these photographs.
Yeah,
it draws the hands, there's extra fingers, it draws teeth, and you have
shards in the eyes, or
teeth are coming out of the eyeballs, or whatever. You know, there's always something that's off. Even though it's a great picture and a great depiction of reality, it's we know it not to be actual reality. And that's
right. It's really brilliant what you're saying, because I had the same thoughts, and it was not too long before we're driving down here. Again, I'm in the entryway of this phenomenon. I don't know a lot about it yet. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. This is something you've lived for years, but it's reassuring that you know that my conclusions are maybe kind of on the right track, because when it's such a big thing, like I've of course watched Skinwalker Ranch, the series. And seeing the phone things, where the phones are just going absolutely batshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how the hell is that happening? Cracking codes, you know, and just going through the roof. I was talking to Thomas Winterton last year, and he's talking about having these radiation detectors with a group, and they're going up in the mesa. And he said, so the one guy started flashing in a way that it shouldn't even have been able to display, but everybody's like, wow, that's really weird. It's just a bunch of numbers. And the guy's like, no, that's my PIN, my banking PIN mm-hmm. number.
Yeah.
And it's like, this isn't...
Yeah, but is it cracking the code on its own as an external thing, or is it pulling something out of his own head?
That's a good point, too.
Right. There's absolutely... They kind of made fun of it a little, or Travis did today, calling, you know, precognitive, whatever.
Yeah, I heard.
But it is. I mean, Alexander was correct in that depiction of what it could be or likely is.
Sure.
It is precognitive, but it's limited. It's not God. Whatever this is
right.
It makes mistakes. It's fallible,
That's
gives me assurance.
Yeah,
we've seen it make plenty of mistakes.
Okay, but it is interesting the whole AI thing, because you know, of course, there's a history I'm sure there's a history to the fact that they do believe that an impact happened here in the Uinta Basin and may have formed the Uinta Basin. Well, you know, whatever it is, there's something still here that maybe came in then, and maybe it wasn't a meteor.
It's an ancient alien kind of thing. Maybe, what if? I mean, there's a bazillion, and Travis can, he's very good at coming up with 15 different explanations for what if could be.
Yeah.
But I'm far more of the mindset that there's something built, constructed,
mm-hmm.
and tunneled underneath the mesa.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That there's some sort of a void, if not cavern, tunnel system.
Oh, yeah.
Facility, possibly.
Yeah.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah. I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Protesters and supporters alike are lined up outside the United States Supreme Court this afternoon as a decision in the most hotly debated case in years is set to be delivered.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case, Roe v. Wade.
Sir, I graduated the top quarter of my class.
We just don't have a spot for you.
Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney, Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee, William H. Macy, as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
My chief qualification being... I'm uncontroversial.
You know how we both ended up on the Supreme Court?
Politics.
Damn right.
This may be the longest of shots, but it's also the last chance for a lot of women.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
I'm trying to get you to stand for something, man. Now go to it.
Listen to Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You were confronted by what looked like the police, but it wasn't the police.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next?
Nothing.
That was it? You just went home?
We probably did an investigation there. I think not. A lot of times we're given one event, mm-hmm. and really nothing else. It's okay. Like an appearance. It's downloaded what it needed to. Okay. It's plugged in, you know, jacked into your system for whatever it had to extract, and it's done its job, and that's it. Okay. Yeah, typically you get one major event. It's not multiple continuing.
Mm-hmm. And were you convinced?
But we kept coming back. I mean,
yeah,
that just. I mean, I've never done heroin or anything else, but I mean, that's got to be like that first hit of heroin. I would
chase.
We're chasing the dragon, exactly. You know, everything I thought this could be, it's that and more. And I get to keep coming back. I got to keep. Is it going to happen again? Is this reproducible? And right. This was the only location that I was ever aware or instance of high strangeness that is reproducible.
Yeah, absolutely. So. At this point, you the original excursion, you were thinking this could be the place. Was this the point where you were like, this is the place?
We're close to the...
Okay.
The reality is that is the place. You know, whatever is on the ranch is also on the mesa, sure. On the nearby properties, yeah. And all throughout the basin. There is no... There's no leash on it like a dog that it hits the leash and it's got to be pulled back to the ranch. There's the fence line.
Yeah.
So that's a huge fallacy, I think. The reality is, if you took all these cameras and put it almost anywhere throughout the basin or the nearby, anywhere, I'll give you another secret, anywhere around Bottle Hollow, especially.
Bottle Hollow?
Man, you'll get the same exact kind of activity. You could do a TV show on any nearby property.
Sure.
It's the focus and the attention. It's almost like that quantum effect. You know, when you look at something, the quantum wave collapses and...
Yeah.
The observer and our own consciousness play some sort of unique role in this interaction with it.
Very cool. Yeah.
And the more, you know, just us even talking about it,
right.
Is only fueling this, and it's going to keep continuing to get bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, I've watched it from the beginning, and it's grown and propagated to almost a virus-like.
Yeah.
You know, where it's infected people like such as myself, mm-hmm. the team members, Bigelow, his guards. We've all done our small little parts to spread its message as it grows. Its message. I'm getting pretty deep into this.
No,
I know it sounds a little wacky.
No, I'm with you. Believe me, I'm 100% on
board. But when you step back and really look, self-reflect, you know, mm-hmm. what is this real obsession? You know, something seems to be working through you. Nothing right. positive really has come from any of this. I mean, maybe some ego fulfillment or satisfaction on a very low level, but really, this is just cost me money. Mm. The hitchhiker effect has really damaged my life in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah.
That nothing good has really ever come from this obsession. Why do I keep... I'm from Wisconsin. You have 1,800 miles or so to come back here every time.
Oh, okay.
It's a pain in the ass. It's a nightmare.
So you're still living in Wisconsin?
Yeah. And I'm coming back almost every other month back here, spending a week in the desert by myself. Or with that other researcher, trying to
say that's ballsy too. Just
crazy. It's crazy. It's ballsy and stupid and crazy. Like I, you know.
Yeah.
But at the time, you just rationalize. It's just what I do, and I'm having some sort of dopamine hit from doing it. But there's no real benefit to any of it. Mm. Why am I doing this? Right. Why am I building these websites? And why am I doing this interview right now? And why am I going on stage? And I don't need any of this, really. Something's working through us all. And again, I want to stress that this will get bigger and bigger over the next 5, 10, 15 years. And it moves itself in such a way where it positions certain people at certain times. I mean, it's not only precognitive, but I theorize it has the ability to possibly even look forward into time, in the past, into the future, and position certain people in certain times to spread its message, such as Brandon buying the property, the Lakatsky from the Department of Defense. You know, he makes one visit to the ranch. One time he reads the book. You're familiar with who I'm talking about?
Not really, but I'd love to know more.
James Lakatsky from, he's from the Department of Defense.
Okay.
He's the beginning of how the Department of Defense got in bed with Robert Bigelow, gave him the $22 million.
Okay.
He reaches out to Bigelow and tells me he read the book. He would love to come out to this ranch. He can't believe what's happening. Maybe it's going to in some way inspire his own. He's a rocket scientist.
Okay.
With the Department of Defense.
Okay.
And he thought maybe what's happening at the ranch can glean some sort of insight that he can monopolize on and help the military with.
Amazing.
He makes a trip out here, the ranch. One trip, one time. And he's in the homestead. Mm-hmm. And as he's talking to Bigelow and his people, he sees out of the corner of his eyes what looks like tubular bells, which is like chrome pipes in this almost infinity kind of looking motif, or
really?
just floating in the air in the kitchen. He doesn't say anything. You know, he's kind of a engineer, nuts and bolts kind of guy.
Yeah.
But he's just, I assume to be shocked to see this thing, just like myself seeing this glowing ball of light behind the car.
Right.
You know, this is his kind of Genesis moment where he's now brought into the fold and it's moving the narrative forward.
Mm.
This one time, he's only there for 1 hour. He only has time to visit the ranch for 1 hour. And he's just in there talking in a house to the people.
Yeah.
He's not out in the ridge line. He's not out looking for skinwalkers and werewolves and balls of light at night, during the day, and he's shown this event. And as a result of that event, you know, he writes a letter to his superiors, elicits the funding, the Department of Defense gets involved, and this thing just grows into something much bigger, where they NIDS becomes Bass.
Sure.
Bigelow, what Bass is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bigelow's groups, yep.
Something similar happens. Brandon himself has kind of a Genesis moment where they're visiting the ranch, and I believe this is before he even buys the ranch.
Okay.
And his wife, he flies out with his wife, wonderful lady, and she sees, I guess, what looks like a glitch pattern floating in the room, you know, and she's just transfixed. This is a different part of the same house. This is just the one visit. You know, this is a very pivotal moment. Okay, we're here. This is interesting. Those are some great stories, but it's all stories.
Right.
Stories don't sell. I'm not going to spend millions of dollars potentially. And I thought it was 4.5. I don't know the exact number.
Sure.
But that moment, I think, was a pivotal moment to his decision to buy the ranch and
to push it forward. Yeah.
To push it forward.
Huh. So do you think there's something about this intelligence or this anomaly, whatever it is, whatever it is, we can't really say, but do you think it craves this journey and attention, right?
Interesting. Yeah. Just like a virus probably needs certain proteins and whatnot to survive, whatever this is requires our attention,
So is that, it could either be playful and tricksterish, or it could be absolutely diabolical.
Completely. Or you don't know yet.
Yeah, or it could just be kind of benign and be bored. You know,
that's a stupid good point.
Yeah.
But again, the effects have never been directly positive. Indirectly, they can be very positive. And, there's health effects on the people involved in this.
No.
I've noticed everybody that gets involved with it, in some ways, it'll test them. It looks for weaknesses within all of us, whether that be ego, whether that be greed, entitlement. It's talking through me. It's working through Ryan Skinner right now. And I'm not going to name any other name.
Sure.
I can tell you, though, anybody involved in the ranch, it targets and it's going to look for that weakness and exploit it. And
that's incredible to me.
And it's difficult to step back and saying, who am I? You know, I'm just this guy from Wisconsin. Why do I deserve to be out there? Why does everyone need to listen to me? And yeah, these other people think they're experts, you know, screw them. And like, I got to step back and like, what do you, but this is not you. This is not innate to who I am. I don't care. Why do I care so much? Why is it so important to me? And is something operating potentially through me? And I've, and once you can take that healthy self-reflective step back,
yeah,
it goes away and it's, everything clears and you get a different perspective on.
Yeah. But wouldn't you say, even though a lot of the, you know, the one-offs, these weird things, but at the end of the day, it is regularly demonstrating the laws of physics standing on their head. Basically, you know, is it demonstrating that, look, whatever you guys are working with, this is reality. Here, let me show you. I mean, like it almost, it's putting out breadcrumbs. Now follow. And it, that could be dialogue or boredom or tricksterish, but at the end of the day, it is showing us some incredible phenomena.
And, what do you mean it's not following physics?
Well, like when you have GPS misbehaving, and it's glitchy, you know, but it looks like it goes into the Mesa or, you know, of course, the people that have...
So machines can cause high EMF field.
Sure.
So then EMF is following.
But what about like the orb activity that's been seen?
There's several studies from the mid-80s that have plasma orbs that the military has created, self-floating plasma orbs, mm-hmm, that can actually communicate, that can
really
send a signal through the orb where it vibrates at a certain frequency, and you can emulate a voice through the orb.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
all these patents are out there. It's just they're extremely obscure.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the magic is kind of stripped away when you find some of these patents, and the ingenuity of humans themselves is dramatically underestimated, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Does that mean to say that it's? I mean, I'm heavily, of all the boxes that this could be, I'm heavily leaning towards checking one of them as being military-based, whether that's foreign or domestic. I have no idea yet.
Really? So and it could be very terrestrial.
Another box, of course, is interdimensional, sure, or alien.
Oh, okay, I see.
I think that potential is also there. It's just I found much more evidence to indicate a military presence with extremely exotic black classified technology being utilized to protect something below.
Oh, okay.
Some sort of communicative system below.
Oh, that's freaking deep.
And you know, it's not to say that that there's not also an alien component, if not maybe a spiritual one. I mean, Brandon once, and I loved his answer because everyone, of course, hits him up. You know, what is it? You know, just tell us, which one is it? You know, commit to one of these. And he said, it's all of the above. And I think that's the most beautiful answer out there because it really is. This onion has so many layers. That's what makes it so difficult to solve. And I told people, one day I'm going to solve it, but I'm keep hitting, you know, these, it's all the above. And that makes it infinitely more difficult because we're looking for this unified theory.
So it's the Schrodinger's octopus, you know, at this point, right?
We got the whole octopus. That's good. Yeah, I follow you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know. It's crazy, but I find it absolutely fascinating. So you end up actually becoming involved with some of these projects. And that's a hell of a leap for a guy from Wisconsin,
mm-hmm,
right?
Which projects? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you've been a force of party. Well, you've been a part of... Were you not involved during the Bigelow years at all?
I was considered enemy number one.
Oh.
Both by Bigelow and probably the Department of Defense as well.
Oh, was he?
You know, Jay Stratton was here at Phenomicon. I don't know if you saw him.
Yeah.
I went up and I have no animosity or anything else, and I have no idea if he even knew who I am. So I went up and decided to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Ryan Skinner. I extended my hand. I said, I'm not sure if you know who I am or if this is even a good idea for me to shake your hand or if you even want me here. He said, he grabbed my hand in a firm handshake and said, I know exactly who you are.
Ooh.
I've known who you are for a while.
Oh, my God.
And it was mean or ominous. Sure. I don't want to try. I'm adding a lot of inflection into that voice it just gave. But it made me think. There's a lot of, it's loaded statement.
Sure.
Yeah. But Bigelow would constantly have guard reports, security reports written about how is Ryan Skinner infiltrating the property. How is he getting onto the property? What is he doing on the website? Daily reports. They had private investigators following me, watching. And I have the actual reports. He instructed his own guards to try to befriend me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Befriend him. That way we'll get the real good intel.
And okay.
It's always funny to me because it worked.
Yeah. Okay.
What he wanted, they did befriend me. Okay. And we actually became actual real friends to the point where I hired one of the guards to work for me at one point.
Oh, cool.
After Bigelow let him go. But we became legitimate friends, and basically all the security reports that were supposed to be going to Bigelow were going CC to Ryan Skinner and to Robert Bigelow, which it's just been a crazy ride.
It is, yeah. But it's so dipped in this thick layer of intrigue, and yet, I mean, this has become such a big phenomenon.
But anyway, let me finish. What was interesting, and I've had some extremely close calls with the guards to the point where they were right on top of us at one point. And, halt, this is security, you're on government property, stop. And foolishly thinking, I'm videotaping a ball of light approaching us, which this red ball of light was coming towards us. And anything out there, anything that's in that empty mesa, there's no people, there's no barely any animals. It's a desert, barren, Mars-like environment out there. To see any kind of light is of interest.
Sure.
And we're videotaping as it's coming closer. It's one of the guards, and he circled behind us. And I'm on the edge of the ranch, looking down into the ranch house. So he's at our six or whatever. We have nowhere to go at this point. And he's approaching, loaded weapons. They carry pepper spray, handcuffs. They have nothing better to do than to kick the shit out of some some guy from Wisconsin who's trying to leak all the information about what's happening out there. And he's now running towards us. I have nowhere to go, so I just jump off this 20-foot cliff, holding my hands on the side, trying to drop, not break a leg. I know because I know some of the guards, I know that they're all ex-military police with top-secret clearances, and they're jogging every day, and I'm out there smoking cigarettes, drinking monster drinks. This is not a professional operation on my basis, but long story short, I just run underneath one of the rocks. One of the boulders up, knowing I'm not going to keep running him, and I got to hide eventually. And stayed there for 6 hours, and wow. The guards, the dogs were circling me. Just I had more fear, I think, for the human element than I ever did for whatever was haunting the grounds at Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, okay. And rightfully so.
I mean, pepper sprayed, beat up, handcuffed, and then... And then you'd be put in, the Native American jail.
Oh, right.
With I don't know.
No words for that. Sure. Anything.
Exactly. No. Yeah. So it got very real for me. One real close, a close call that night. But to transition from there to suddenly Brandon Fugel ends up buying the property. Yeah, and he's given the reports. He's given very little about what he just bought. He has no idea other than the stories from Colm and Knapp's book.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, none of the files are turned over to Brandon, but one of the files or confidential information that is sent to him is look out for this guy, Ryan Skinner, whatever you do, because he's getting out of the ranch. This guy's he's a problem. He's a headache for us. Be on the lookout for him because you just inherited a headache with this kid. Yeah, and Brandon, who's just an absolute genius. I mean, a very kind person. But brilliant, brilliant man says, I have to assume, let's turn this problem into an asset.
Oh, cool.
Instead of shunning Ryan and keeping him out and looking for him and just, let's invite him on the inside.
Oh, cool.
We can keep tabs on him. I assume that's part of his own motivation. Let's get him under a contract and let's work with him.
Mm.
Obviously I've had at that point about 13, 14 years of intel and information about there. He's got nothing at this point. And I gave him everything that I've known to that point.
Oh, cool.
I was beyond gracious to be able to work. on the other side of the fence and not be in handcuffs at this point and running from guards and hiding under rocks and just the nightmare that I was living before.
Right.
I just really couldn't, you know, the downside was I couldn't share the information publicly from what was happening on the other side of the fence.
Mm.
But, well, that's, you know, that whole full circle.
Yeah. I mean, it's neat though, because it is this manifestation of a vision of yours, and it has progressed pretty incredibly. Because most people wouldn't get past scratching out the gate, you know. I mean, that would be like the whole journey. I've always owned it, but can't get in, done.
Right.
But yeah, I got to give you a lot of credit.
Persistence.
Yeah.
Foolishness.
Tenacity. Just raw tenacity, because you kept at it. So do you, where do you think this going at this point?
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it's really sky's the limit. When you say where do I think what is going?
Well, this journey for you, or do you?
The journey for me is just again, it has gotten bigger. At the moment, I'm just strapped onto a rocket ship that seems to have no ceiling at the moment. I'm sure that's going to end pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the ride at the moment. It's actually unbelievably stressful. I'm an extreme extrovert, so. As I think you've noticed by now, the few times that we've talked before this.
Yeah, you have a lot of energy. Jeez, yeah, that would be awesome.
No. But, I've been blessed to have some very extremely unique experiences that I feel, if you're given something and it costs you nothing, you know, there's always a payback. There's always a cost to everything in life.
Right.
And to be blessed with being shown the things that I've seen at Skinwalker Ranch and the incredible people that I've met, you have to give back in some way. And I think that really is the primary motivation of doing what I need to inspire others to pick up where I've left off, maybe to push some limits of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't encourage anyone to trespass, but we all have to jump some fences in our life and break a few eggs to make an omelet kind of theory. You know, if you really want to peek behind the veil, you got to put yourself out. You got to make yourself uncomfortable, and I'm doing that every day.
Well, I think it's brilliant, and I'd love to have you back and continue the discussion.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot.
We can do that remotely and such, but it's just really an honor to have a chance to sit down and talk with you. Thanks for making this work. I know that you're pushing your limits right now, but it's been really cool to get a chance to talk to you, brother.
Yeah, I want to thank you for your own persistence. Thank you for pushing me and asking. And I feel gracious that of all the people, you know, you'd want to talk to me and hear my story. So thank you for...
Oh, we got to cover Where's Your Books, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's get a drop in there.
Thank you. Yeah, they're Amazon. Amazon.com.
Okay.
Pretty much Skinwalker Ranch, anything.
Okay.
I've written 9 different books.
Oh, fantastic.
I've got some audio books as well. And the website, skinwalkerranch.com, that I started in 2008. Kind of we never got to it, but back then, the other investigator and myself did locate the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of finding that, I've always wanted to kind of put everything out there for the public to be a part of this journey that I'm on. And if not inspire them to make their own journey and hopefully add to that collective understanding of what's happening at the ranch. And it's been a hell of a ride. And it's nowhere near over.
No.
Believe me when I say this.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell that. I see the fire in your eyes still, even as you're explaining.
No, and I'm like 47 now. And it's not burning out yet.
No, but I guess your journey's not over as my deal is, right?
Not.
Well, thanks again, brother. This has been an honor.
Yeah, same here.
All right.
I appreciate that.
All right, everybody, that's going to wrap it up for us today. So hope you guys enjoyed the show, and thank you again so much for all your love and support. And remember, if you want to follow the Paranormal Portal, probably the easiest way is to head over to paranormalportal.net, and that's the homepage for the Paranormal Portal, and you'll find links to all of our different social media and sites and information about the shows, including our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/paranormalportal. Or just look for Paranormal Portal on Google or whatever search engine, and you'll find links to our social media such as Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. So we're kind of all over the place, and we're spreading as as well as we can. But anyway, thank you so much for the love and support. Y'all take care, and remember, we love y'all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day, and remember to laugh as much as you can. Until next time.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington,
we're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.